The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parshas Yisro. And I would like to dwell on a few points brought here in the Parsha, which we can learn a great deal from. Vayishma Yisrael Kohen Mijon, Chosein Meshe, Eskola She'oso Elakim LeMeshe, Yisrael Amai, Ki Yitzi Hashem Yisrael Mimisroi. The last Parsha, Parshas Bishalach, we learned of the going out of the Yitzis Mitzrayim, the Kriyas Yamsuf, the splitting of the sea. And the Mon. Now, it states Yisro, the Kain Midian, who was the father of Moshe, he heard all which HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for Moshe in Yisrael. Rashi says, Mashmur Shoma Uba. What did he hear? And that made him come. Kiryas Yamsuf u'milchamas Amalek. He heard of the splitting of the sea and the war against Amalek. Bayikach Yisroi Chosein Moshe es Sipora Eishes Moshe achai shilocheho. And Yisroi, the father-in-law of Moshe, took Tzipora, the wife of Moshe, after she was sent back. The Torah tells us before that when Moshe was told to leave the house of Yisrael and go to Mitzrayim, so he took his wife and his two children and he came to Mitzrayim. He met Aaron, and Aaron said, "Who are these?" He says, "This is my wife and two children. Where are you bringing them?" "I'm bringing them here to Egypt." So Aaron said, "Ala rishayim on a mitzrayim." Here we're worried about all of the Jews, all of the Hebrews that are in Mitzrayim and being oppressed and persecuted, and you're bringing more. So he sent them back. So now Yisro brought them back. His two sons, one was the name of Gershom, Kiyomar Ger HaYisi Beres Nochriyo. Moshe named him Gershom because he said, "I was a stranger in a strange land." V'shema Echad Eliezer. And the name of the one was Eliezer. Kelehe Avi Ozri V'Atzilena Mecher Paroi. Because the God of my fathers was in my aid, and he saved me from the sword of Paroi. Vayavo Yisro, Chosein Moshe, Uvona V'Ishtel Moshe. And Yisro, the father-in-law of Moshe, and his sons and wife came to Moshe, Ela Midbor Asher Huchein Hashem Har Elohim, to the desert where they were camping by the mountain of Hashem. This was the Midbar Sinai, desert of Sinai at the foot of Har Sinai. Now, what did he come for? So Rashi brings Pasukei Alamidbor. Why does the Torah tell us to the desert? Af onu yedim shebi midbor hoya. We all know that they were already in the desert. Ela bishvocha shel Yisrei diberakosuv. The Torah's Talah is praising Yisrei. Sheyeshe bikfeidi shel eilam. Yisrael was a very, very great person. He was a noble person. And he lived with great wealth. He lived in a palace. And still, Yisrael left all of that wealth and all of that comfort, and he went into the desert in order to hear Torah. So, the purpose of Yisrael's coming, the Torah is telling us, is Lishmaya Divrei Torah, to hear Torah. Now, even though he came to bring Moshe's wife and his two children, that would have been possible without him. He could have sent them through a shliach, through another person. He didn't have to come himself. So here, he's coming himself because he wants to come and join Yisrael to hear the Divrei Torah. Now, so we have a case here where we can learn three things. It states, Vayishma, he heard, Vayova, he came, Elamidbor, to the desert. He heard of the great things, of the going out of Egypt, the splitting of the sea, the war of Amalek. This brought him to action. Many people hear things, but it doesn't bring them to any action. This brought him to action, where he wanted to become part of Israel, part of Hashem, part of his nation. So he acted. By Yishma he heard, by Yovah he came, and there could be no obstacles. He was prepared to come all the way into the desert. Afila ala midbor, mokum tehu, empty, desolate place, even though he was Yeshiv Bechvedish Alaylam. He was sitting in the fat of the land. This is the Gela Atzmelim Kem Teira. He was willing to go into an entire exile, if necessary, for Torah. In the parsha right before, in Parshas Bishalach, the Torah tells us that actually all of the nations heard. By the Kriyas Yamsuf, the splitting of the sea, it states, Shomo Amin Yirgozun, Chiloch Hashesh Pepeloses. All of the nations heard, and they trembled. A great fear took a hold of the Philistines and so forth. In other words, they had all heard of the splitting of the sea. And still, others didn't come. So they heard, but they did nothing about it. They could have came also to join Klal Yisrael. Then we see even further. In the parsha, directly before what we're learning now, is the parsha of Amalek. And it states, Vayove Amalek. Amalek did come. So even though they heard of the Kriyas Yamsuf, they did come. So they were sprung into action from the Shmiya, from the hearing. But what kind of action? Vayilochem im Yisrael Berafidim, to make war against Israel. They were sprung into an action of vicious, of evil. So we see the two total antitheses. Yisrael heard, and Amalek heard, the Goyim heard. Yisrael came, the others didn't come. Yisrael came to learn Torah and to go into the desert even to learn Torah. Amalek came to fight and try to destroy Israel. There's a Medrash Rabbah in Esther, in Perek Zayin, Parsha Zayin, where the Posuk in the Megillas Esther states, Vayar Homon ki ein mod chakerea umishtacha veloi. Haman saw that Mordechai would not bow to him. What did he do? When he saw that Mordechai wouldn't bow to him, so it states he started to a whole strategy, a whole scheme on how to destroy Mordechai, the whole nation of Mordechai. So the Medrash says as follows. So Pasuk in Tehillim, Samach Tes, which states, Omer Abivam, Techshachna Einehem Shel Rishoyim Meros. The eyes of the Rishoyim should become dark from seeing. Light of the eyes of the Rishoyim should be taken away. Lefisha Maris Einehem Shel Rishoyim Mordei Seisam LeGehenem. because their eyes, their eyesight leads them to Gehenna. And to the contrary, when it comes to the tzaddikim, Aval maris einayim shel tzaddikim to'or, but the eyes of the righteous, the eyesight of the righteous, brings light to them. Lefichach mala esom lemale elyeino, and it brings them to vary to the highest levels. Lefichach heim smeichim b'maris einayim. They take simcha out of what they see. This is what is written, Yiru Yishorim v'ismachu, that the Yishorim, the upright, should see and rejoice. This means that two people can see the same thing, both with the Keach Ariyah, with the power of the eyes, but the reactions will be totally different. The Rishoyim will from this do evil, and will bring them to Gehenna. And the tzaddikim, it will be malaisam lemaila elyoina, it will bring them to high levels. And therefore the tzaddikim rejoice in their eyesight. The power of sight is an enormous power that was given to a person. But it can bring a person to Gehenna, or it can bring a person to Gan Eden. It would be, when it comes to the Rishoyim, better that they could not see. But the tzaddikim rejoice with what they see, and they rejoice with the power of sight, because through this it brings them to enormous heights. And then the Medrash gives a great number of examples. For example, it states, here we have Vayar Haman. Haman saw that Mordechai would not bow to him. So from there he started with his whole scheme to destroy all of Israel. It would have been better if he couldn't see. And this ultimately led to the downfall of Haman and his 10 sons. Vayar Chom Avi Kanam. Chom saw something about his father and it brought to his downfall. Vayar Bolok. Bolok saw Klal Yisrael coming and it led to his downfall. And it brings many such examples. And the opposite is by the righteous. Vayiso Eino Vayar Vinei Shlesh Anoshim. By Avram it states he lifted up his eyes and he searched in the distance and he saw three people coming. And he thought they were travelers and he ran. This brought him to action to run and to bring in the people, to be Makabel Orchim. And from there, the reward was endless, what he did. He had the child, he and Sarah had Yitzchak. And the Gemara tells us, whatever he did, stood by to his descendants. Or by Yar V'hinei Ail, by the Akedah, Avraham searched, he looked, and he saw a ram, and he took and he was Makriv, but he sacrificed it instead of Yitzchak. And for this, great things came from Vayar Bine Sneh. Moshe was a shepherd in the desert. He looked around and he saw a bush burning. And he wanted to see more of it. And he said, let me come closer so I will see this wonder. What came from there? What came from there? The initial, the first meeting between Moshe Rabbeinu and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vayar Pinchas. Pinchas went and he saw what was happening with Zimra and the Midianite, and he sprung into action, and from there he was given the kahuna. He became a member of the kahuna, the priesthood. So this is what it states. Omar Rabbi Ivo, Techshachno Einehem Shorei Rishoyim Mirais. By the Rishoyim it would be better if their eyes would be dark. They would have no light in their eyes. They wouldn't see, because their eyesight brings them to Gehenna. By the tzaddikim, they should have good eyesight. Einehem shel tzaddikim to'or, because it brings them to wonderful heights, and that's what it states, Yiru Yishorim Bismocho. Now this is what eyes. Here we see the same thing with Shmia, with ears. Two people can hear the same thing. One will take that and lead them to Gan Eden. Someone else will take that and lead them to Gehenna. It states, Kolo Amim Shomu Yirgu. It says by the Kriyas Yamsuf, Shomu Amim Yirgozum Chilo Hashesh Vepaloshes. All of the nations heard about the Kriyas Yamsuf. What did Amalek do with this? Vayovei Amalek. It sprung them into action. And from here they went to make war with Klal Yisrael. Lilachem Im Yisrael Vayovo. Sprung them into action and they came to make war. And from here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decreed on them Timcha Zecher Amalek, that they should, their name should be erased forever, because they were the first ones to come to make war against Klal Yisrael after the Yetzias Mitzrayim. Lulei Zeis, if not for that, no other nation would have started up with it. Yisro heard, Vayishma Yisro, Ma Shoma, Kriyas Yamsuf, he heard about the splitting of the sea. Uba Vayovoi, and he came, he sprung into action. Elamidbor, all the way to the desert, Lishmaya Divrei Torah, to hear the Torah and to cleave to Israel. And from here he became the great Yisro, who was the first gear that we had. And he was so great that his name was Yisro because he was Yese Yite Pashachas B'Torah. He added the whole Pasha to the Torah. So from here we see that a person has to utilize the chushim, the powers that he was given, carefully. He has to use them. He has to use his eyesight and he has to use his hearing power, but leteif for good. And he has to use it to come lidei pu'ula, where it will come to action. That's one point we see from here. Another point in Posuk Vav and Zayin, Vayomer Moshe Ani Chesen Cho Yisrael Bo Elecho. Yisro said to Moshe, he sent a message to him when he came to the camp. I am your father, no Yisro. I've come to you, and I brought your wife and your two sons with you, and her two sons with her. Rashi explains, Moshe was no simple person. Moshe was the king. He was the king of Israel. The camp of Israel were millions of people, 600,000 men between the ages of 20 and 60. So this doesn't count their wives. This doesn't count the enormous number of children that they had. And this doesn't count the people over 60. And besides that, Moshe was the one who defeated Paro. He brought Paro and Mitzrayim to ruins. Mitzrayim was the all-powerful empire. And he split the sea. And there's a shaila if this particular episode here is taking place before the giving of the Torah or after the giving of the Torah, because Ein Mugda Mumucha B'Teira, the Torah necessarily is not written in chronological order. But if it is, then Moshe is the one who went up to the heavens to bring down the Torah. And Moshe was so great that it states that Moshe was shokel keneged shishim rabua. He was equal to all 600,000 of the Jews. So Moshe wasn't a simple person. And when Yisro came, he announced himself. He sent a message, but he didn't know if Moshe would necessarily come out to meet him. So he said, "I am your father-in-law. If you're not interested in coming to see me, come to see your wife, or come to see your two children." It states, Vayetze Moshe likras chesnai. Moshe went out to greet his father-in-law. Vayishtachu vayishakloi, and he bowed to him and he kissed him. Vayishalu ish reyo l'sholom, and one asked the other, greeted the other with greetings of peace and asked how they are. Vayavohu ha'ela, and then Moshe brought him into his tent. Now Rashi brings Kovod Godol nischab Yisrei beis Hashem. Said great kovod was given to Yisrael in this hour. Kivon sheyotze Moshe yotze Aaron Nadav v'Avihu. If Moshe went out and Aaron followed, and his sons Nadav v'Avihu. Umiyu sheroas elu yetze v'leyotze. And then, who else from the great people would see they go out, and the others, all of the others, the Kenim, the elders, would not follow? So they all went out. Now, there's a number of points in the next few psukim that we see that the Torah found it necessary to write for us in order that we should learn from it midas tovas, musar and derech eretz, that we should learn good qualities from it. We should learn musar and we should learn derech eretz. And the Torah found it necessary to write this, to teach us this, because it considered it that important for the Torah to write some. And we'll mention some. Now, firstly, Moshe didn't have to give that kovod, that honor to Yisrael, for the reasons we mentioned. It was a melech godol. But Mishnah always tells us, Ezehu mechubad hamachabed sabrius, who is the one who is really an honorable person, who gives from his honor to others. So here Moshe took it upon himself to give Yisro all of that honor. He could have just sent a message back that bring him in. No, Moshe himself went out. And we can even see something else. Yisro was his father-in-law, but from the technical aspect of the halacha, he wasn't necessarily his father-in-law. Because if it's Achar Matan Torah, after the giving of the Torah, so then all of Yisrael were gerim. And the relationships were not the same. And even when Yisrael became a ger, the relationships would not be in full force. Now we see further in Pasuk Yud Beis, it states, "Vayikach Yisrael Chesen Moshe Ole Uzvachim Lelakim." Yisrael, the father of Moshe, came, took sacrifices to Hashem. Vayavo Aaron v'chol ziknei Yisrael, and Aaron and all of the elders of Yisrael came lechol lechem in Chesen Moshe, to eat bread with the father-in-law of Moshe, lifnei Elokim, before Hashem. Mentions Yisrael, it mentions Aaron. But where's Moshe? Doesn't mention Moshe in this pasuk. It says they all ate, they came to eat. But doesn't say Moshe. Rashi tells us, "Umeshe hechen holach, ba'alai hu shiyotze likrosei, v'gorem le'es kol hakovod." Where did Moshe go? He's the one who went out to greet him, and he's the one that caused him all of this honor. Moshe was standing and serving them all. And that's why it doesn't mention, when it says who was eating, who were eating, it doesn't mention Moshe, because Moshe was not eating, Moshe was serving. Now here the great king and the great Ha'ish Moshe, not only did he go out with all of the others to greet Yisrael and to bow to him and to kiss him and then bring him in, and when they sat down and ate, Moshe was serving them. Then we see a little further that the Torah was makpid, was very demanding, very careful about the feelings of an individual, and in particular the feelings of a ger. In Pasuk Tes, the Pasuk before that states, "Vayisaper Moshe l'chesnei kol asher asa Hashem l'parim Mitzrayim, that when he, Moshe brought in Yisro, he sat down and he told them over the whole story of everything that took place, of how they went out of Egypt and the Kriyas Yamsuf and the war with Amalek and the Mon and so forth. States Vayichad in Tes, Vayichad Yisrael al kol hateva she'osa Hashem l'Yisrael, Asher hitzilo miyam Yitzroim. Yisrael, now what does it mean Vayichad? So Rashi brings the simple meaning is from the word chedva, machadi, the Targum says. That means simcha, joy. Yisrael had joy from everything that he heard that Hashem did for Yisrael, that he saved them from the hands of Egypt. This is the simple meaning. But then Rashi tells us there's a drosha. And he brings the drosha from the Chazal. Medrash Agodo, Nase Besore Chidudin Chidudin. That it doesn't mean simcha, but it means that Yisro shivered and became frightened from everything that he heard. Meitzar al ibud Mitzrayim, because he heard of the great downfall of Egypt in the hands of Israel. And after all, he has a kesher, a relationship to Egypt. He was not a born Israel. He was not born from Avram, Yitzchok, and Yaakov. And therefore, Naseh Besore Chidudin Chidudin. He broke out into a shiver, into a sweat when he heard all of this. So that now the Chazal tell us, Hainu Damri Inshi Giura Arasore Dori Letevazi Armo Bape. If someone comes and becomes a ger, a convert, you have to be careful that even after 10 generations, you must not embarrass or shame or speak badly about a non-Jew in his presence, because he will still identify himself with the non-Jew, and it will cause him tsar. It will cause him hurt. A ger, even after 10 generations, and he's a full-fledged Jew, but you must be careful not to speak badly about a non-Jew in his presence, because even though he's a Jew, he still identifies himself as a non-Jew also, and this will hurt him. So this is what the Torah is telling us when it uses that word vayichad. Because here Yisrael was happy for what happened to Israel, but he still was identifying himself with the Mitzrim. Now we see that's something which is very, very subtle. But the Torah found it necessary to write to teach us how careful we have to be with the feelings of someone else, in particular the feelings of a ger. We have to miss a ger. Then we have another example of this. In Posuk, in the next perek in Posuk Gimel, Perek Yutes. Perek Yutes brings that Klal Yisrael came to the foot of Sinai, the Har Sinai, and they're getting ready to receive the Torah. So Posuk Gimel tells us, Moshe Ole Elokim, Moshe went up to Hashem, Vayikra Elav Hashem Min Ahor Lemor, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu called him from the mountain to say, Kosoma Leveis Yaakov V'Sagei Livnei Yisrael. This is what you should say to the house of Yaakov, and this is what you shall tell B'nai Yisrael. There are two questions here. Who's the house of Yaakov and who are the children of Israel? It would seem to be the same. Secondly, why does it say by the house of Yaakov it says Somar? And by the B'nai Yisrael it says V'saged. Now Somar, Tomar is Loshen Rako. That means soft spoken. Speak softly. Saged is tell it the way it is. Hard, direct talk. So Rashi brings from the Chazal, Beis Yaakov Elo Hanoshim. Kodesh Baruch Hu is coming to give the Torah to Klal Yisrael. And he wants Israel to accept it. But at the same time, he doesn't want to pull the wool over their eyes, doesn't want to mislead them or defraud them. So he wants to tell them what they're going to get into. Till now, they were only commanded in the seven mitzvahs. Now, with the receiving of the Torah, there's going to be 613 mitzvahs, and there will be consequences. Till now, you didn't keep a mitzvah, nothing would happen to you if it wasn't a mitzvah that you were commanded on. Now you don't keep the mitzvahs, there will be punishments. So he wanted to tell this, he wanted Moshe to tell all of the people. And there had to be a unified acceptance of the Torah. All of Klal Yisrael. Not just the men or not just the women. So therefore he told Moshe to address the men and address the women. So the women, Elu Anoshim, Beishakov Eil Anoshim. The women, that he called the house of Yaakov. It comes from, because women refer to the bais, the house, the home. And the Bnei Yisrael, there he referred to the men. It's a little strange that when he told Moshe to go and tell them about the Torah to see if they would accept it, according to the way the pasuk is written, Hashem told Moshe to go first to the women. And then to the men, because it states Kesima Levei Shakov Besagei Levnei Yisrael. So why first to the women? So that's a discussion. And there's a maral on that, that he did go, he was commanded first to go to the women. And that's the discussion, but that has nothing to do with what we're speaking about here in particular. Now the question is, though, that Hashem said, when you speak to the women, he said, Somar. And when you speak to the man, Vesaged. So the Chazal say as follows, and this is what Rashi brings. When you speak to the women, you must tell them, Beloshin Rako. Speak softly to them. Speak kindly to them. Do not speak harshly. When you speak to the men, Saged, Onshin Vidikdukin, Peirash Lezuchorim. Don't hold back any information, don't hold back any punches. Tell them exactly what the mitzvah is, what is expected from them, Dikdukim, the exactness of the mitzvah, the onshin, and if they do not fulfill the mitzvah in its exactness, what will be the consequences? Dvorim, the word saged comes from the word gid, Rashi says. Gid is a tendon, a muscle. Dvorim, hakoshin ke gidin, which are as hard as gidin. Now why is that? Because they have different natures. Man was created with a tough nature. And in order to communicate with a man, it's got to be straight talk. He wants to know all the facts. It's got to be to the point and hard. And you have to tell it the way it is. A woman was created with a very soft nature. And therefore, when you speak to a woman, it has to be with a gentleness. That's why a person who spoke, who knew was Derech Eretz, was called a gentleman. Spoke with a gentleness, especially to a woman, with a softness. That was the way to communicate with them. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is teaching Moshe Rabbeinu Derech Eretz and wisdom. How does one speak to a man and how does one speak to a woman? If you come to a man, don't tell him Boba Maisim. Don't try to mislead him. If you want to make a deal with him, you have to put everything on the table. Tell him exactly the way it is. And then he'll make a decision. You come to a woman, it has to be Loshin Rako, with a gentleness, with a softness. Some people think they're chachomim, they think they're wise. They say, no. With women also you have to take a tough stance. Here HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Moshe Rabbeinu, don't be wise. Listen to me. See. And here, so here we see again that the Torah went out of its way to teach us, right, these things. And then another point. In Pasuk Ches of that parsha. So Moshe was going back and forth up the mountain. It started on Reish Chodesh, and the Torah was only given on Vov, on the 6th. Actually, the Machlekes in the Gemara, if the Torah was given on the 6th of Sivan or the 7th of Sivan. And the difference is also when Chag HaShavuot should be. We hold like the opinion that the Torah was given on the 6th of Sivan, and there was just 6 days between Reish Chodesh and the giving of the Torah, and therefore Shavuos is on the 6th, but there is an opinion that Shavuos will only be on the 7th. At any rate, Moshe Rabbeinu was going back up and down the mountain. Hashem was telling him what to tell the people, and Moshe would go. So it states, it says in Pasuk Vav, it says, "Vatem tiyuli mamleches kanim v'gei kodosh." He says, go tell the people that I'm going to give you the Torah, and if you accept it, and he says, explain to them what they're getting into, and if you accept it, then you will be to me mamleches kahanim, an empire of kings, v'gei kodosh, and a sanctified nation. Then he says, Elu advorim asher tedaber el b'nei Yisrael. He says, this is what I want you to tell Israel. And Rashi mentions here, Ela, he says, this is what I want you to tell them, not more and not less. This, okay. Vayavol Moshe, vayikra lezignei om. So Moshe came, and he told all of the elders, vayosem lifneihem, and he put in front of them, it's called advorim ela asher tzivo Hashem, which Hashem commanded. And the whole nation heard, and they said, whatever Hashem says, we will do. And now Moshe went back to Hashem to tell him this. Now, Rashi asked the question here. Good question. It says Moshe went back to tell Hashem that I did what you told me. I went to the nation, I told them everything, and they've accepted. He says, what did Moshe have to go back to Hashem for? Hashem didn't know that. Hashem sees. He saw Moshe go down. He saw Moshe speak to the Am. He saw what the Am said. So why did Moshe now have to go back to Hashem? And by Yoshev Moshe divrei omer Hashem, and tell Hashem that I did what you told me, and they accepted. Hashem knows. So Rashi says, "V'chi tzorech hoy Moshe lahoshiv el bo akosav lelamdecha derech eretz mi Moshe." The Torah is writing this for us, even though it's not necessary, but that we should learn from Moshe Derech Eretz. That when someone sends you to do something, it's Derech Eretz to go tell him that you've done it, and it's Derech Eretz for you to go tell him what the outcome was, even though he knows about it. Many times someone asks us to do something for him, so we do it, but we don't call him up and tell him we did it, right? Finished, we did it. No, it's not Derech Eretz. It's Derech Eretz to call him back and tell him that what you asked me to do, I did. You see, many times someone asks you, would you ask that person to do this and this for me? I need a favor from him. So I go to him and I ask that person to do such a favor for him. And then the person says, all right, I'll call him. So I figured I don't have to go back and tell him what I did, because eventually he'll find out, because the other fellow's going to call him. No, that's not Derech Eretz. Derech Eretz to call him back and said that this that you asked me to do, I did, and to tell him the outcome. And certainly if he doesn't know the outcome, you have to tell him. And how do we know this? From Moshe. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked Moshe to do this, Moshe did it, and there was the response. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew Moshe did it, and even knew the response, and still Vayoshev Moshe. Moshe went back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and said, Os asisi eshlichosai, shlichosecho. I have done what you asked me to do, and this was the response. Now, why is the Torah writing this? See, the Torah is writing this. So we can learn Derech Eretz from Moshe. So we have a whole number here, right by the Matan Torah, a whole number of points where we see that the Torah goes out of its way to teach us Midas Tevis, Musar, Derech Eretz, how Moshe dealt with his father-in-law. When Moshe went out as a king, he didn't just say, show him in. He himself went out to greet him and bow to him. And he asked him how he is and brought him in. And then even afterwards, he stood over him, and Moshe didn't lack any servants, and served him. And it seems that the Torah even might be chastising a bit Moshe, because when he was telling him over the whole sipur of the Yetzias Mitzrayim, that was really too harsh for him. Vayichad, Nase Besore Chidurin Chidurin, you must be careful. And then the Torah tells, instructs Moshe exactly how he should present the Torah, in one way to the men and another way to the women. And then, even though Moshe did everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to do, and Hashem knew about it, and he knew the response, still Moshe said, it's not Derech Eretz that I do not go back myself and tell Hashem that I did it. And the response. We learn all of these points from here, and we learn something else also. We learn that it's impossible for a person who studies Torah not to have Midas Tevis, not to have Derech Eretz, not to have Chochmah, not to be a mensch. It's impossible. Here we're learning just, we're not learning sugis of Gemaras, of Shulchan Aruch, we're learning a few psukim. But we don't always see it. So this is like my Rebbe would always say, it's a sign of not learning Torah. It's a sign of not learning Torah. Can't learn Torah and not learn Midas Tevis. Can't learn Torah and not learn Musa. Can't learn Torah and not learn Derech Eretz. Every posuk is full. Here we took a few psukim with a few rashis. Nothing real, you would say, a whole sugyashir or chidushay Torah. So it's impossible for a person to learn Torah and not be a mensch, not be the perfect gentleman, the perfect Baal Musa, the perfect Baal Derech Eretz. But we see it. It's a siman, that's a sign that the Torah they're learning is not Torah. It's not Torah Hashem. Something wrong in the way they're learning the Torah. Let's go to another point. When Moshe told over Yisro, this is back in Perek Yud Ches Posuk Yud and Yud Aleph. When he told Yisro, because it states before, Ve'isape Moshe l'cheisne es kol ha'she'osa asher meparim Mitzrayim. Aleidus Yisrael, he told them over the whole story. So it's Yisro said as follows: Vayomer Yisrael, Baruch Hashem asher hitzel eschem miyad Mitzrayim umiyad Parai. Baruch is Hashem who has saved you from the hand of Egypt, from the hand of Pare, Asher Hitzeleso Mitachas Yad Mitzrayim, that he has taken you out from beneath the hand of Mitzrayim. Ato Yodati, now I know, Ki Godol Hashem Mikol Elohim, that Hashem is greater than all of the gods, Ki Badover Asher Zodu Alehem, because that what they did to Yisrael was on them. Now firstly we see that Yisro could say that now I know that Hashem is greater than all of the other gods in the world. So Achazal tell us from here that Yisro, who was an idolater, was the idolater par excellence. He had searched the world for the true God, and because of that he had studied every bit of idolatry in the world. He was an enormous chochem. And so he could say, now I know that this God is greater than all other gods in the world. Okay. But when he said, now I know, so simply we could say is that I see how he, all of the miracles he did for Klal Yisrael, so now I know he is the greatest to do to Yisrael, fell upon them. What does that mean? So Rashi explains, Rabbi Seinu Doshuha, he brings the Gemara and say to Yud Aleph, well, he says first the Targum, Ki b'mayim dimu la'abdom v'heim nevdu b'mayim. They wanted to destroy Yisrael in water. They said that all of your children you should throw into the water, and they themselves were destroyed in water. The Yam Suf, the Red Sea, fell upon them. And then he brings further, Zodu is from the word by Yozed Yaakov Nozid. Yaakov made a porridge. So Zodu is the word porridge. Bikdei Rashi Bishlei Bonis Bashlu. In the pot that they wanted to cook Klal Yisrael, they themselves were cooked. It would be similar to the expression we have that he became cooked in his own stew. They were making a stew to cook someone else in, and they themselves became cooked. Ki vadover asher zodu aleihem. The risha, the resha that they wanted to do to Yisrael happened to them, and the kedera, the stew, the porridge that they were cooking for Yisrael, they ended up in the pot. Kedera sheboshe lebo bo nisbash lo. Now, why did he put that on? Why did he tag that on? Wouldn't it have been enough to say that when I see what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did, he split the sea, he destroyed Egypt, and so forth and so on, now I know. So here we learn something very, very profound. When you see miracles take place, you can write them off as derech hateva, mikro. It happens. This is the way of nature, and the world does this all of the time. We are always seeing miracles, but who attributes it to miracles to Hashem? It happened. No. A hurricane happened. A volcano happened. A typhoon happened. A war happened. So what does this have to do with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? A mikro kora. This is the happenings of history, and it has nothing to do with the hand of Hashem. We could even deny that there is an existence of Hashem. So, from the fact that Klal Yisrael came out of Egypt, and we even will say the Red Sea and everything else, the victory, people will write that off. You see, Amalek wrote it off. It's the hand of Hashem. It's not the hand of Hashem. It just happened. But Yisro is saying something else now. It wasn't just a mapola, it wasn't just an overthrow of Egypt. It was ki badover asher zodu aleihem. Exactly what they tried to do to you happened to them. The pot which they had prepared for you to cook you in, they were cooked in. This is something else. And here there are two points. First of all, this is Mida Keneged Mida. Mida Keneged Mida cannot happen by the Teva, by natural occurrences. Mida Keneged Mida means that exactly what you wanted to dish out for someone else, you got yourself. That doesn't happen by itself. There can be a hurricane, there can be a volcano, there can be a typhoon. But if we say it's just natural occurrences, then there will not be Mida Keneged Mida. And from the fact that there is Mida Keneged Mida, this shows a very, very careful plan. And he says, Ato Yodati, from this I know that this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Chazal tell us that the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mida Keneged Mida, both when it comes to reward and onish. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu repays a person for a mitzvah with a careful strategy and plan that the reward will exactly fit the act that he did. And the same thing when it comes, heaven forbid, for consequences, he will do the same. He called me days of Mida Keneged Mida. Now this shows there's about a boss. There's someone doing this. It's not just a haphazard happening occurrence that because of all types of coincidences and various factors this took place. So he said Kibas Asher he said Zodu Alehem, exactly what they wanted to do to you happened to them. Oh, he says, this shows that there's a master in the world. So that's one thing. But there's a second point also. He used the word Elohim. He says, Ki God Lashem, Mikol Elohim. He didn't say God Lashem from all gods, but from all Elohim. Elohim has a particular meaning. Elohim means judge. The Gemara always tells us Elohim Zu Bezdin. The Bezdin many times is referred to as Elohim. See? Meshish Elohim means judge. Judgments. The Mida Keneged Mida doesn't only tell us that there's a master in the world, and this is all a plan. A careful plan. Control. That there's control. But it also tells us that there's perfect justice in the world. If someone does a good act, and we will say, look, let's forget about it. That's a distortion of justice. That's why it states, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu mekapeach schar shel shum berya. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't withhold the reward from any creature, even from the kelev, even from the dog. Because the dog didn't bark at Klal Yisrael when they went out of Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them a reward. If you're going to overlook an exact reward, that's a distortion of justice. If you're going to overlook a retribution for evil, that's a distortion for justice. And that's a second reason, a secondary reason in Mida Keneged Mida. Not only does HaKadosh Baruch Hu pay Mida Keneged Mida so you should know that there's a balabos in the world, but because Elohim, because he is the judge, and Olam Kayim Aladin, and he put justice into the world where there has to be justice. If he would not do this, if Mitzrayim got a little less punishment that they were giving to Klal Yisrael, then there would be not justice in the world. And this Yisro saw. He says, I see what took place is not only an act from a master of the world, but an act of perfect justice. Ato Yodati, now I know, Ki God Lashem Mikol Elohim. Your God, this God is greater than all of the judges in the world. Ki Badovar Asher Zodu Alehem, because exactly what they wanted to do to you happened to them, that's a perfection in justice. From here we see how important Nekoma is, revenge.
many people, especially in the liberal society that we live in, they all say, no, no, you can't take revenge, you can't take revenge. I'm not talking about revenge as a personal satisfaction. I'm talking of revenge for the perfection of justice. If there would not be states HaKadosh Baruch Hu's killing the Kumas, if there would not be perfect revenge, this would be a distortion of justice. And we could say, well, forget about what the Egyptians did, let's forgive them. Forget about what the Nazis did, let's forgive them. Forget about what Haman did, let's forgive them. So where's the dying, where's the deen, where's the justice in the world? And justice, HaKadosh Baruch Hu built into the world. And this is his Midah Keneged Midah. Many people want to close their eyes to it, but you can't. Actually, the world is getting a little, since September 11th, and President Bush, so America has been taking a hard line stand. So they're becoming a little more conscious. But they want justice. They want to extract justice. But before then, and still plenty, you had your extreme liberals. Whatever people do, you have to forgive them. The criminal, what good does it do to punish the criminal? You're not going to bring back anyone. You must forgive the criminal. So rehabilitate him and so forth and so on. And I remember right after September 11th, at the Twin Towers, so it was on television. They were countless coverages. They were interviewing a number of people, high profile people, and they had a priest there, a minister there, and they had a reform rabbi. And at that time, some of the people were seething. And President Bush was seething, although he hadn't come out with his real public declaration yet. And we have to find those people that did this, and that's responsible for this. And all of the injury and the death, thousands of people, and the turmoil that they brought, they wrought. So they were talking, and they were asking, "What if we catch these people, what should we do with them?" So one after the other were trying to show a beautiful righteousness. No, we must forgive them. And the Reform Rabbi included. No, that God will forgive them. Must forgive them. We are not barbarians. And we can't go and just extract more cruelty from them. And right then I said to myself, every act and every inch of suffering that they brought on anyone, they will pay for. There will be not one act that will go unpaid. There will be not one heartache that will go unpaid. This is the same for the Palestinians and all of them. Everyone will be extracted. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Elohim. This is the justice, the deen in the world. You could say what you want, and that is the Reform Rabbi. I mean, he made such a fool of himself. Then when President Bush came out with his declaration, his hardline declaration, and he said publicly, and this was a turnabout, this was a historical turnabout in the whole attitude of America. He said publicly that not only are the ones that blew up those towers enemies of America, and they will pay for it with their lives, but any nation in the world that has given them support, has given them refuge, and will continue, are our enemies, and we will declare war on them. Now, nobody knew what the public reaction would be, because this was a turnabout. And the huge public reaction came behind Bush. And all of a sudden, the liberals, included the Reform Rabbi, did they keep their mouths shut? You didn't hear anything after that. So this is what Yisro is saying. One final point. It says, "Bachedish Ashlishi, let's say, Spene Yisrael, Meretz Mitzrayim, the third month, this is in Perek Yutes, Klal Yisrael went out of Mitzrayim by Yem Hazeh, on this day, Bo Midbar Sinai, on this day. Now, it says on this day, it should have said on that day. Speaking on the third month, going out of Israel, going out of Egypt, it says, Bayem Hazeh, Bayem Ahu, it should have said, on that day. Instead, it says, Bayem Hazeh, on this day. So Rashi brings, Lohoye Tzorech Lichteva Labayem Ahu, Mahu Bayem Hazeh, Shedivre Terech Hadoshim, Olecho Kilu Hayom Nitnu. Torah was being given. Now naturally Torah was new because it was just given. It's going to be given in the next few days. But this is teaching us that when we learn Torah, we should always learn Torah like not by Yom Ahu, not that it was given in an historical past, but by Yom Hazeh, it was given on this day. When you learn Torah, you have to learn Torah, not that this is something that was given thousands of years ago, but that it's been given today. Now, there's a lot to talk about this, but we'll have to condense it into one or two statements because of the time. It seems this is not true. Torah was given thousands of years ago. So why do we say when you learn Torah, it must be learned like it was given today? I mean, we're not dealing here with just a psychology or to mislead a person. So the answer is as follows. The Gemara brings, when you see Haraya Chocha Mechach Mea Umes, when you see a very wise person in secular wisdoms, you meet a professor of medicine, meet a professor of physics, you meet a Thomas Edison and Albert Einstein, someone who is a great Chocham in the secular wisdoms. Chayv Levorach, you have to make a brocha on him. What is the brocha? Baruch Ato Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Asher Nosan Mechoch Mosai Lebos Vedom. Blessed is he who gave from his wisdom to man, to flesh and blood. It says, Areya Chocham Mechach Me Yisrael. When you see a Chocham from Yisrael, a great Talmud Chocham, you have to make a brocha. You say differently. The Dusach HaBrocha is Baruch Ato Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Asher Cholak Mechoch Mosai Lirei Ov. Asher Cholak, who has imparted, divided his wisdom with those that fear him. So there's two distinctions. Now, first of all, Babos Vedom doesn't say to those who fear him. So therefore you can have someone very, very wise. You can have an enormous wise person, and he can be an apocalypse. He can be someone who denies HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's not a condition. But when it comes to a Talmud Chacham, HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals true Torah to a Talmud Chacham only to someone that fears him. Cholak mechoch mosei lirei ob. Okay, that's one distinction. But there's another distinction. Why does it say Asher Nosan, that when it comes to the wise of the world, he gave his wisdom to them? And when it comes to Torah, it says Asher Cholak. Cholak means he divided, he imparted. The answer is because when it comes to the wisdoms of the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to the world. So go and study it. Gave it. It's already in the world. The wisdom of physics, the wisdom of mathematics, the wisdom of electronics, all of that is already in the world. And it's waiting to be brought out. Just like a couple of hundred years ago, the wisdom of electricity was brought out. And then later, the wisdom of telephone communication was brought out. And then the wisdom of computer science was brought out. There's more wisdom in the world also that's waiting to be brought out. That was Nosan. He gave it to the world. It belongs to the world. But Torah didn't give to the world. Torah, he says, Asher Cholak Mechoch Mosoi. He shares. Cholak means share. he shares the wisdom of the Torah with those who fear him. He kept it. That's his wisdom. Doesn't give it to the world. But he'll share it with those who fear him. That means when a person sits down and studies computer science, that's wisdom which is already here. When a person sits down and studies Torah, that wisdom is still by Hashem. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu shares it with him. And that's why it states, Das Usfuna Mipiv. When the Torah goes into a person, it's coming right from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why it states, Amalamed Tera Li Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu teaches Torah to Israel. And Torah is compared to milk. One of the examples of Torah is Cholov. What's by Cholov? When the calf suckles milk from the cow, from her mother, she doesn't go to the refrigerator to get it. It's live milk that is coming all the time from the cow. This is the same with Torah. So therefore, when it states, Vayem Hazer, that when we learn Torah, when we learn Torah, that's why it states that when we learn Torah, and it has to be as if it was given to us today, means it is given us to today, because we are learning it now from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We are learning it now from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's why it states Bayeimahu Zeh today and not Bayeimahu on that day. These are a number of points that we can learn, very, very important points from the Sidra, which speaks about Yisro and the giving of the Torah.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.